the station of the stars. RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad. Actually, making the news this week. I'll explain in a moment. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We're at the base of the beautiful Tatry Mountains, and they are covered in snow. It's like looking at a picture postcard every morning. We're in Poprad, that's why the show's Postcard from Poprad, which is in the east of Slovakia, right in the middle of that cold snap that everybody's talking about. And I had to laugh this morning when one of my colleagues in the UK said, "I'm digging my car out, they had 4 inches of snow." I laugh. Joining me on the zit of the nose of Europe, as always, it is none other than Lee Banks.
Well, hello, everybody. And actually, since Mark has stolen the zit of the nose of the universe for Paris, yes. I have a new one.
What's that?
It's the boil on the bum of the bigots and Burks of Great Britain.
You've been practising that, haven't you?
No, I just made it up on that moment. I can't remember it now. That's gone forever.
Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio X Replay Radio, RTI, of course, and the wonderful Audio Boo. Thanks to all of you for being with us in this very, very cold snap, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. Well, Lee will, that's for sure. And apologies, there's no Mark this week, but he's had to take his little girl off to the hospital. Nothing serious, but he had a hospital appointment. If you don't keep him, you know what it's like. So we said, go. Go.
Yeah, exactly.
Get little and sorted out. But he'll be back with us next week.
We
start off with the traditional moans and groans from Mr. Banks, because there's a genuine, real gone kid this week.
Wow.
The passing of Michael Mondeo. Michael Mondeo is the car of the dreams that was Lee Banks' car at one time. And it is passed away. It is no more. He does not sit on the perch in the little garage at night keeping warm. It is a defunct past car.
It's like a dead parrot.
Did I
it's
sound convincing? Did I sound convincing for a minute?
Well, no, you didn't sound convincing at all. You were just taking the mickey out of my misfortune and the passing of that famous... world famous, the one that we made famous, that porn star, Michael Mondeo, the lover of your Meghan McGann.
Yeah. It's true, boys and girls. He was actually telling me it was like his dream car because it had electric this, automatic that, pretty radio. It had all the buttons and bells and whistles on it. And he got his dream car, and then some little oik in another car ruined Lee's week.
He wasn't a little like, he was a big fat...
Was he? Yeah, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Anyway, well, I must admit, I must say, ladies and gentlemen, I am being misrepresented yet again by Mr. Wiltshire. Michael Mondeo wasn't my dream car. A Mondeo, a Ford Mondeo, is not befitting of a man of my style and stature.
Well, it's stature, yes, you need something like a double-decker bus.
That's only so I could pick you up.
No, that's so you could get your head at the right place in the roof. Actually, you driving, I'm sure everybody on the planet's seen Top Gear. It must be like, there's a simile there between you and Jeremy Clarkson. So have you noticed when he sits in a normal car, he's got his head forward because he's so tall?
Well, I tell you, this is the truth. I actually had a Fiat, one of those little Fiats, 126.
Is that what they call a panda?
Yeah, like a Fiat Panda, that sort of thing. Yeah. Small. And it wasn't mine. I bought it for my wife as my ex-wife, my Italian ex-wife. That's why I bought her a Fiat.
Right.
Because, like the rest of the bloody country, it didn't work.
He's off again. Right? Yes.
Yeah, I bought it. And I used to like it. I used to actually like going out in it because it was so small. And the only way I could drive it was to have the sunroof open and my head poking out the sunroof.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. So Michael's dead then?
Yeah, and it's not funny, and I'm really disgusted with you for taking the mickey out of it as well. We had a lot of fun with Michael, didn't we? We dubbed him as the porn star of the backstreet porn star of motor cars. And Bobby Mondale's weren't my favorite, but I personalized it. I made him part of me. I made Michael Mondeo part of myself. Well, he's been well and truly here ended for the last time. nipples are greased and his dips are thonged and he's gone.
Yes.
It's just a crumpled heap of pulsating manhood on my lawn.
How old was Michael?
He was 11 years old.
He's probably best dead then.
He's barely lived. He's only gone 78,000 miles. He'd been round the clock. He'd hardly been round the block. And now he's gone because of that stupid man.
Yeah.
Michael was parked outside the post office in the Village of the Damned, where I live.
Yeah.
Perfectly legally, under a lamppost, 6 o'clock at night. Some big, fat, stupid man came down the road in his rented car, his little hire car, his little Focus or whatever it was. Focus. That's what Michael used to do. And then he come charging down the road. I wouldn't say he was speeding. I would not suggest that he was speeding. But somehow, with his handbrake on, Michael ended up 40 yards down the road with his boot in his face.
Yeah.
The windscreen had gone. How does the windscreen fall out if you hit somebody up the rear?
Well, if it wasn't put in properly, it'd fall out.
Michael was put together perfectly, man.
Don't talk so quietly. We know you're upset.
I have films to prove that Michael was put together properly in every aspect, every area.
Right. Do you think we should get on with some news now?
No, I think you should do it yourself.
Have you got it out of your system yet?
I haven't even got it out of the backyard. Must have come to pick it up and they've not come.
Oh, bless. I'm sure there are still some nice bits like the badge.
Well, I've kept the mirror.
You've kept the mirror.
I've kept the mirror off the front.
Moving along.
Can I just say before we do that Andrea's umbrella is jammed in the back and we can't get it out?
And?
Well, they're just sharing the tragedies.
Anyway, moving along. So Paul McCartney gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame at long last. All the rest of them have got their flipping stars on there. John Lennon, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, and probably the most biggest selling of all of them has just got one. Where have you lot been in the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
It was her favourite umbrella, that, you know.
You get this all the way through, aren't you?
Sir Paul McCartney. What? Why has he got a star on the sidewalk? He should be on the sidewalk with that fat man.
Is this going to go through the whole program?
He's so middle of the road, he should be running up. He looked like a knackered tortoise.
Mull of Kintyre to you.
A mull of, yes.
Right, and so well done. Congratulations to Sir Paul McCartney for his Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame. About time, too. And
talentless. He's there with that idiot Phil Collins.
You're going to be in a bad mood all day, aren't you?
Been in a bad mood since yesterday when the tragedy befell me.
Ah, right. Anyway, girls, I will allow you to now wince and kind of go, ouch, because a giant baby has been born to a Chinese couple. According to the Chinese state media, the baby was over 7 kilos in weight, which in old money is 15 pounds and 8 ounces.
Or 7 bags of sugar.
Well, 7 bags of sugar, absolutely. And the agency in China suggested Chun Chun said that it was twice the average weight of a normal baby. And the baby was born just after the Chinese New Year as well. So I suppose that means something. I'm just trying
to... Xinzhang City. That's where it was born.
You're very good at this today. What's up with you?
Henan Province.
My word.
Oh, that's what you put in your hair.
Gosh.
No, I'll tell you, honestly, is seven kilograms really that big? 15, nearly 16 pounds? Is that really that big? I remember that
yes.
man I used to call my father. When he was born, he was 14 pounds. There were lots of things said at the moment he was born. How tall was this child?
I don't know.
Was it just very short and very fat?
No, I've seen pictures, and it looks like a normally proportioned baby. But just
very big.
But just very big. But I'm just thinking of, you know, 7 bags of sugar appearing out of a certain orifice.
Like the post office, where my car was parked outside, but not plastic yet, ran into
it. I knew that was coming. Anyway, girls, hope you stop wincing now.
Can I just make a point on that? Because this is perfectly true, and this is one for the gentlemen to consider.
Yes.
Ladies, I'm saying this on your behalf.
Yes.
To the we all think it's funny giving birth to a 15-pound baby and stuff like that. But actually, it was told to me by my first ex-wife that giving birth was like pulling her top lip over her head.
Right. I really needed to know that. Have you ever heard the phrase too much information?
A top lip. She'd shaved it before she did it.
football news this week. Two things happen all at the same time. Capello has left the England team job, and Harry Redknapp says this morning he hasn't been asked about the England team job, as this week he left the court as a free man. He wasn't a criminal. He hadn't done anything wrong.
And he's a good egg.
He's a good boy. And I was bemused by the tax officer in the UK who was reported on the TV after the event of saying that even though they lost, this was a warning to people who were fiddling the tax that they were looking at everybody. Well, considering...
Everybody?
Everybody. And considering...
What, including us?
Well, probably. Well, not me, obviously.
No, not me. I don't know, because I'm a good boy.
Well, I'm taxed here.
I'm taxed there too.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, it was interesting that he says this. It's cost millions for this case to come to court. Harry said it should never have come to court in the first place. You've got people travelling all over Europe checking stuff out. And it just makes me wonder how many more people they've got to catch are doing something naughty to actually pay back the cost of this one in the first place.
Well, it is. It's ludicrous, isn't it? You carry on. You carry on.
Well, no, I was just going to say that it just smacks of, you know, looking for the celebrity person again who they can think they can get a big headline with and catch them out, when the man with the big headline, who does happen to be the manager of the best football team in the world, Spurs.
Just say the man with the big headline again, but drop the word line.
Yeah. No, Harry's a star. My brother and I will both agree with you and fight you to the death over it.
Harry Redknapp, I'll tell you one thing about him that I think is true.
What?
He's right, and I admire him for. He actually confirms the mentality of the average British football player when he admits he's illiterate.
Well, he doesn't have to be. He's creative with the team. Stop moving your microphone around.
And he's no longer creative with his... yes, right.
And he quite rightly said he's a disorganised person with his accounts, which is why he has somebody to do it professionally for him.
That's right. I think it is right. I think, right, joking aside, what you're saying about... I don't, as everybody knows, I'm not really that interested in football, so I don't really know that much about it.
Yeah.
But I'd heard of him. He's not a very handsome chap, is he, though? That's the problem with him.
He doesn't have to be. He's a genius in football.
Yes, but geniuses in football look like David Beckham. Then you got that little...
No.
Monkey.
Yeah, you got the other ones as well. Anyway, good luck to Harry Redknapp. Let's look forward to Spurs winning. Spurs winning. Spurs winning.
Is that who he represents? Spurs?
He's the manager.
Of what?
Of Spurs. Tottenham Hotspur. The football team. The only
I thought it was Tottenham Spa. I thought he ran a shop.
The only football team worth mentioning in London.
Are they in London?
Yes, there are some little teams in London, like Chelsea and Arsenal, but they're a bit...
That's true, isn't it, then? There you have it, Harry Redknapp, little ugly and illiterate.
Best team in the town for me. Yeah. Anyway, Harry, good luck with winning the Premiership this year. I hope you do. And carrying on to all sorts of things in the future. Don't take the England job, Harry, please.
Don't. And yeah, I agree with Eric. All joking aside, Harry,
don't.
I'm glad everything's sorted out. And with the money that you've saved through this situation by being cleared and being shown as a good, honest man, go and get yourself a facelift.
No. Go and stay with Spurs. Stay at White Hart Lane, Harry, and we love you there, so stay there. Moving along
to the Workers' Education Authority, they'll teach you.
Oh. Right. He's going to be like, it's all day today. He's just going to be intolerable.
I'm upset. I'm trying to get over it.
He's only a ruddy piece of metal. It's a car.
He's not. He's Michael Mondale. He was my god.
This I find so humorous because the former Deputy Prime Minister, Lord Prescott, he's going to seek a nomination to become the Police and Crime Commissioner for Humberside Police. And this is a new thing in the UK. The Americans will be going, what? Because we've not had these elected commissioners.
Have they also did the ducks?
No. Daffy Duck. Because we've never had the elected commissioners for police, rather like there is in certain areas of the world. This is all new. But anyway, the 72 years young former MP...
73.
Yeah, he did actually stay in Parliament for 37 years, which is a heck of a big thing
which
to do.
Which is spooky, isn't it? Isn't that spooky?
Funny
73,
that.
37.
So he's going to stand for this elected position, which I find very interesting, because if anybody wishes to Google this, you're very welcome, because Mr. Prescott, as he was then, as opposed to Lord Prescott, was campaigning during a general election for the Labour Party, and when somebody threw an egg at him, he punched him in the face.
Which in itself isn't a bad thing.
Well, no, I don't disagree with that, but it does make it a bit odd that he's now standing for police commissioner in Humberside.
Well, you should also factor into this that he actually claimed for two broken loo seats on his expenses.
I can't
believe and it. He admitted publicly cheating on his wife.
There is that to it as well.
And he admits that he's very bad-tempered and awkward and churlish. That's, well, I'll tell you what.
Actually, that's not a bad thing for a police commissioner.
I'm just thinking. Yeah. Yeah, punch, bad-tempered. Yeah, that's exactly what the
police... Yeah, that's what we need now. Let's whip the boys if they do anything wrong. And...
That's right, they can't whip you for it. No, you're right. That's what we need, because these blinking police who came down to the accident outside the post office, if I've mentioned before, that, you know what they did? What they did? We're so upset about the fat man. Mm. Oh, you're all right, and things like that. And there's Michael on the floor, spread out, there, and they drew a little light line around him like he was like a murder victim and things, and then just went away.
Okay. So anyway, we move along. Now, we're interested to know... This is interesting. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, boys and girls, more like a month or so ago, we had the little quiz about the 112 telephone number.
Which Mark failed.
Yes, Mark failed dismally. because I was interested to know how many people knew that the Europe-wide telephone number for emergency services is 112. Now, I wouldn't have expected Lee to know, because in the UK it's 999. It's 911 in America, obviously. But across, even if you're in the UK, you can still dial 112, and that diverts to the emergency services. And so we had a little bit of fun with that, and consequently, Lee and Mark failed dismally. Now, this very day that this programme is put together, the European Union announced a survey about 112. So who the dickens is listening to this show from Brussels, then?
Well, exactly, Brussels, you load of sprouts. Yeah, you should listen to it. Actually, I'm interested in this because, like you're saying, I thought it was 999 in Britain, but actually it's been changed. In my collision care pack given to me by the police, it's now 0800 107 2338. Do you remember that?
It's the after number. The actual emergency number is still the same.
I would beg to differ on that.
No, if you dial 999, it will still work.
Somebody's ringing me on the other phone now. Who's that?
Go away.
Go away.
Thank you. So anyway, the interesting thing was that the survey done by the EU showed that just over 26% of EU citizens, which is rather a large area if you think about it, correctly identified 112 as the number to call anywhere in the EU in the event of emergencies. There's been a slight increase in European awareness. We're doing better of the number over the past 5 years. The positive side, they claim, is awareness of those who travel to member states, being that 34% know the number. So basically what they're saying is people that live here don't know the number, and people who come to here for travel actually do know the number.
That's a funny thing, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting there. Anyway, moving along to a novel idea now, which I think has actually got a lot of merit, and I'm quite into it, is the Automobile Association in the UK have launched a satellite navigation tracking system connected to their insurance policies, because not only does the AA now offer the breakdown system, a bit like AAA in the US, but it also offers you things like everything from home insurance to car insurance. And there is a big problem with car insurance going up like crazy in the UK, with some youngsters taking their driving test and finding out they've got to pay like £5,000 to get insurance for a car. And what the guy from the AA was saying was that, you know, we shouldn't be done that way. What we should be doing is encouraging safer drivers to get smaller premiums and the idiots to pay more premiums, which I'm absolutely up for. It makes sense to me.
Absolutely. Dead right. Absolutely. 100% right. Yes.
So what they do is that, rather like the, not on the same scale, but like the like an aircraft, you have a black box which goes under the dashboard of your car. And it is actually connected to a sat-nav type screen inside your car, so you can see what you're doing. If you sort of accelerate hard, brake hard, if you're doing the wrong things with your car, it shows up. And equally, it will go to a central computer to analyse your driving. Now, this is not being forced on people, I should add. It's a voluntary system. And if it is that you want to do that, fine. If you don't, you don't. But there is one downside I can see, that if you get a lot of good drivers who are driving because of the screen that they're seeing, when they jump in another car, do they do the same thing? And secondly, what happens to the sort of drivers who go, well, I don't want a black box under me bonnet. I don't want them to know what I'm doing and what days of the week I go out. I don't want a spy in the car. Will their insurance go up?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? And the thing is, like you say, it's a voluntary thing. And I can understand it. But the voluntary things like this very often, almost certainly, become a reality and become non-voluntary. They become forced on you. Mm. And that is really my whole bleat every week is about freedom of your personal freedom. And this, again, is potentially one of the most major and awful breaches of your personal liberty. We're taking newspapers to court for breaching personal liberty, and yet we accept this kind of thing as something that's right. We can't walk down the street without being followed by CCTV cameras. We can't go on the internet without somebody spamming us. And then all of a sudden, in your own car, you will be telling people who ultimately will charge you money what your ability as a driver is. Yes, I can see all the safety issues and all that kind of thing, but it is still personal liberty being eaten away.
Well, no, if you're volunteering it, I think that's different.
Yeah, I'm saying, But these voluntary service, these voluntary things very often become a reality and are no longer voluntary. You are made to do it.
Well, that's true, because if you ask a lorry driver anywhere in Europe or virtually anywhere in the world, apart from some third world countries, there is a tachograph. And it does tell you what's going on. And there has been a lot of evidence to prove that even though the volume of trucking's gone up, the volume percentage of accidents hasn't gone up in the same way. So maybe there's a good argument for that. But what I'm really worried about is those that say, well, no, I don't want to do that. I can understand an 18-year-old wanting this, because if they can demonstrate they're driving safely with a Direct Line are calling a tracker, because they're doing it as well, and it brings their insurance down, that's brilliant. But I'm just concerned about the guys that go, well, hang on, I've been driving 40 years now. I've never had a speeding ticket. I've never had anything go wrong. Therefore, I don't think I need this. And I would be worried about their insurance premiums going up.
Well, yeah, that's it. Exactly. But going back to the tachograph thing, that is slightly different, because it's linked to a company who are actually keeping... I know it's linked to all sorts of things, but in principle, it is linked to a company who are keeping an eye on what's going on with their goods and their drivers and their haulage.
Well, it's actually a police thing, Lee, be honest.
Yeah, I know it is, but I'm saying, we've got the bloke across the road who's a very good friend of mine is a tachograph reader,
yeah.
And I've been there and seen him. But it has multiple values, right? Whereas this thing... where you are just a private Joe driving your car, and if you are then being monitored, take the scenario of the fact that you are monitored in your car on how you're driving and what you're doing, whether you break the speed limit. It's the same as a tachograph, just say it's happening like that. You get out of your car, you're then followed by a CCTV camera into a shop. The camera in the shops then monitor you and see what you do, watch what you buy. You come home, you go on the internet. People are then monitoring what you're doing on the internet.
2012, yeah. I'm afraid.
Exactly.
That's true. One of the things that has slightly annoyed me this week, and I do say that with respect to a friend of mine who is a member of the National Secular Society in the UK.
I know who you're talking about. I've not spoken to him for ages.
No, exactly. Bideford Town Council, which is a very small town in Devon, in the sort of southwest of the UK, has been told it's been acting unlawfully by allowing prayers to be said before the meetings. And a High Court action was brought by the National Secular Society after a councillor, Mr. Clive Bone, complained, because he's an atheist, about the fact that Bideford Town Council were holding prayers before it. Well, listen, I'm slightly controversial here, maybe, but... Mr. Justice Ousley had to rule that the prayers were unlawful under Section 111 of the Local Government Act 1992 in the UK. I would suggest that law should be thrown out.
I would suggest exactly the same thing. And as the bloke who complained about it and got this law, this thing changed, is an atheist, and he complained on atheist grounds, and I would suggest... that a Christian member of this council then complains about the fact that they no longer do prayers and get it reversed.
Well, there is that as well. And the other thing is, Mr. Bain, can I suggest to you that rather like your television handset, you have a choice. Now, you don't have to go into the prayers before the meeting. You can go in as they finished. Rather like you can turn TV channels over if you don't like them. And I'm sure there are people in the south of America listening to this going, do what? Because, you know, it's just beggars belief that this sort of act can be actually taken. And it does seem to me that if you want to be part, I mean, here I am now the only Englishman living in Poprad. But that doesn't mean to say I've got the right to tell everybody, well, I'm Church of England, you're Catholic, you have to do it my way.
Exactly. And why did this Mr. Bone, and this is we're actually picking a bone with Mr. Bone, aren't we?
Yes.
But why did he say, what kind of idiot is he, right, who said that he, because people said the prayers, he felt disadvantaged? And embarrassed. Why was he disadvantaged and embarrassed? Because somebody was making a mark of respect before the council. You see, what the reason for saying prayers before the council, and really this holds no water at all. This is probably one of the most ridiculous arguments I've ever brought up. But in principle, it is right that the council do this to show that they are good and honourable and honest men.
RTI.